Sermon title today is Hold Fast. Hold Fast. Saints, are you holding fast?
Amen.
You need to be holding fast. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you're going to go to verse 6 when you get there. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And verse 6 says this. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. I have kept the faith. Wow, what a huge statement that the Apostle Paul makes here. I have kept the faith. Saints, are you keeping the faith? Are you holding fast? No matter how you feel, no matter your circumstances, no matter how the situation looks, are you keeping the faith? The faith definition, which by now you should know this by heart, as many times as we say it, is acting on what you believe to be true. It's not just a Webster dictionary belief in something, but it's not a biblical belief. A biblical definition is that you're acting upon that. I'll get it out. Let's clarify. You're acting always, no matter what, upon the Word of God. That's what you're acting upon, because that's what your faith is in, and that's what you believe. So as we clarify, you're acting always, no matter what, upon the Word of God that you hold and believe to be true. Now that is faith. What was Paul saying here? No matter life circumstances, no matter feelings, no matter situation, no matter emotions, Paul was saying, I kept on taking Christ at His word. That's what it means when he says, I have kept the faith. I have taken Him at His word, and I'm standing on that word. I'm believing in that word. I'm trusting in that word today, and I shall not be moved. Are you taking Christ at His word in your life today? You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Nothing to lose, but everything to gain. I love Carol's saying, and I have to write it down, otherwise I will mess it up. So this is what her saying is. Your talk talks, and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So I'll say that again. Your talk talks, and your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Talks louder, doesn't it? You can tell me what you believe, but I want to see it. If I start seeing your Christian walk, people say I'm a Christian, but are they walking a Christian life? Now let's say this another way. Your faith talks, your faith walks, but your faith walk talks louder than your faith talks. Hello? We talk faith, we say we have faith. Are we walking in that faith? Are you walking faith or just talking it? There is a lot of difference, isn't there? It's easy to talk faith, but harder to walk in faith. Maybe a better statement for many of us would be, I struggle at times staying in faith. Do you ever find that to be true or a challenge in your own life? Absolutely. Sometimes you can make the greatest faith statements and then turn around and it just about blows you away because you're either filled with anxiety, you're discouraged, and all of a sudden you're wavering on your faith, you're trusting your faith. Well, a minute ago you was walking in faith, but all of a sudden that circumstance comes about that you weren't expecting, that you didn't know was going to take place. All of a sudden you have to deal with it, and then all of a sudden I start wavering in my faith. Well, you're not alone, because other people struggle with that as well. I think we all do from time to time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 today. Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, I want you to pick it back up over there at verse 22. And I think we're going to leave this a little later on, but we're going to come right back to it. But we're going to stay in the book of Matthew, so it won't be hard to find. But in Matthew chapter 14, you go to verse 22. In verse 22, it says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, is it you command me to come to you on the water?" And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, verse 26 and 27 again. Let's read that again. Verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cry out in fear." And verse 27 says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Then what happens in verse 28? Well, in verse 28, we see that Peter wants to join him. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" And in verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Why was he afraid? Because he doubted. When you look at verse 30, we see that what was going on was the waves, and it was stormy. "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Now, save your place here, but go with me to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. So Matthew 8, we're not very far from there. Verse 23, and it says, Matthew 8, verse 23, "Now when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, so that the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him?'" Verse 26 again, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?'" In both of these examples, what caused them to not have faith? Or should I say, stay in faith? Well, we see in Matthew chapter 14, you go back to 14, and you go to verse 25, in verse 25, and I know we're repeating this again, but it's good. Verse 25, Matthew 14, verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water.'" Was Peter at this point in faith? That's where we're trying to get to. And yes, I say he was. Let me tell you, if I took you out on Lake Red Rock, and I come walking across Lake Red Rock, and I said to you, and you said to me, "Pastor Leo, I'd like to come out and join you on the water." And I looked at you, and I reached out my hand, and I said, "Come." And you took your leg, reached over the side of the boat to step into the water, and stepped on to be solid. That would be an act of faith, would it not? Of course. So when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was acting in faith. And when he was acting in faith, everything was A-okay. Was Peter at this point in faith? Yes, or he would have sank immediately if he wouldn't have been in faith. But in verse 29 through 31, so Peter stepped out in faith, but struggled keeping his faith. He struggled staying in faith in that situation or staying in the faith. Why? Because of fear. Fear is one of the biggest obstacles to our faith. But what caused the fear? What caused the fear was the circumstances. So when you look at verse 30, and it says this, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Fear is one of the biggest obstacles to our faith, but what caused the fear? The circumstances that he was facing, and it was a storm. The what-ifs of life are the biggest common denominators of us struggling to stay in faith. What could happen? What may happen? I can see what is going to happen. The outcome of this does not look good. How many of you go through that in your mind? You know that God is your provider, that He is going to meet your needs, and you know that, and you stand on that, and you believe on that, and then all of a sudden the circumstances comes to play that is causes you to question that in your life. What are you doing? You're starting to doubt. All of a sudden you're having trouble staying in faith because of this doubt, because of this circumstance that you're surrounded by. The what ifs cause doubt. Look at verse 31, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you what? Why did you doubt? Doubt is wavering on what you hold to be true. The next step from doubt is fear. You can put them all very closely together. Doubt is wavering in your faith, questioning your faith in any given situation that you may be facing, giving room for the fear to step in. You have heard it said before. The Bible says, fear not 365 times. We've heard that, and a lot of people have said that. One for every day of the year. Well, really, that's not true, but it's something that's even better. Fear not, be not afraid, is really said only about 103 times in the Bible. But how many times does the Bible imply to us to not fear? Way, way over 365 times. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. In verse 25 of Matthew 6, verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about the clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? How many of times have you said in your own heart, God has got this. God has got this. I'm standing on His Word. I'm believing in His Word. God said it, and if God said it, God's going to do it. God is who He says He is. God will do what He says He will do. Amen. So we go on. Verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is being repeated over and over and over? Fear not, fear not, fear not. Is God your provider or not? Is God your way maker or not? Quit focusing on the circumstances of what ifs of life causing you to bring doubt into your life and start focusing on what we are supposed to do and what we are supposed to be, and that's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times that Jennifer and I got, and we were working on the accreditation. Oh, we got to do this. Oh, we got to do this.
You heard me say many times, I barely got through school, let alone starting the school. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about building. I don't know anything about adding on. But God does everything.
Amen.
And that's who we serve. We serve the God of the universe. He will do it. God's got this. He's going to make it happen. And it's going to be more amazing than anything that you can imagine in your whole entire life. Because he does what? He takes the weak things to bring glory to himself.
Amen.
The less we know, the more glory he gets. Amen. So when we say that we have got this all the time. I've got this. I've got my job. I've got my income. I've got my insurance. I got all these different things. I'm okay. And then all of a sudden you get a
curveball throw at you from left field, and all of a sudden you begin to waver because you begin to doubt. Never doubt. What he says for us to do is to focus on what you need to focus on. That's what he's saying. You know, you've heard that commercial, you've seen that commercial, stay in your lane, bro, stay in your lane. This is what God is telling us to do. He said, I want you to stay in your lane. He said, I've got all these things, you don't need to worry about it, but there's one thing you do need to do, and that's what you need to focus on. And he brings it out in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Start focusing on what we are supposed to focus on, which is the truth of God's word. Can you imagine coming to your pastor and you say to your pastor, Pastor, in my life the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and the sky is falling. And your pastor says to you, you're right, it is, run for your life. I don't think you can imagine Pastor Leo saying that. You're right, the sky is falling. I mean, your life is done. It's history. You're ruined. This is never going to come together. You're not going to hear those words from me. We're going to stand on God's word. We're going to believe in God's word, and we're going to stand on his word together. God's got this, and God's got you. And if God's got this, listen to me, if God's got this, that's the circumstance you're facing, that's the obstacle that's in your path, if God's got it and God's got you, you're going to be victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We are supposed to encourage. We should be saying, God's got this. He is the way maker. God is who he says he is. And he will do what he says he will do. Paul said, I have kept. We go back to that scripture. Paul says, I have kept the faith. I've stood on God's word no matter what. Now one last scripture and then we're going to close today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to go over to verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. In verse 23 of Hebrews 10, it says, let us, boy, echo those words, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Is God going to take care of the needs in my life? You can worry yourself endlessly if you don't think that he is. But if you think that God has got you in the palm of his hand, you have nothing to worry about. So don't take yourself out of that palm. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work, good service. What did Paul do to the young Timothy that was a minister? He says, I want to stir up the gift that is in you. He wanted to stir up that gift of faith. Every Sunday you come to this place, I want to stir up the gift of faith in you. I want you to see things in your life you would never thought you would have saw. I want us to do things in the kingdom of this world that you don't think you'd ever see. But it's because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring those things to pass. Amen? We just need to believe in Him and trust in Him. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching, is it not? We need to stir each other up. We need to encourage one another, being a support to each other, that we can make this, so we can do this, that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. We got the greatest resource in the world on our side, and it's our Heavenly Father. He is the greatest resource that we will ever have. Through Him, all things are possible. To put our trust in Him, don't waver, don't be surrounded by the surrounding waters of circumstances that get you to doubt, that begins to get you to waver and get you to not have faith in what God is going to do. I'm telling you, church, if we remain true to one another and we love each other and we keep loving one another, I'm telling you, you're going to see things you didn't ever think you could see in this church. And I praise God for that, and I'm excited about it, and I want to see what God wants to do in our midst.